So right now, in Denton County, home sales have just suddenly like exploded by 16%.
Yeah, which is massive.
Right. And in any normal year, or really any normal economic cycle, a massive surge in sales volume like that means one thing.
Absolute buying frenzy.
Exactly. A frenzy where prices are just skyrocketing. But today, well, prices are actually dropping.
Which is the crazy part.
It is. We have this sudden, undeniable frenzy of buying occurring inside a depreciating market.
Yeah.
I mean, it is late May 2026. Memorial Day weekend is just, you know, days away.
The unofficial start of summer.
Right, which traditionally acts as the starting gun for that manic summer housing market. You usually have families scrambling, aggressively outbidding each other to just get moved in before the new school year starts.
Right, the traditional seasonal panic.
But if you are out there right now, like whether you're actively looking to buy or maybe trying to offload a property or just observing those for sale signs quietly lingering in your neighborhood, you know the vibe this year is entirely different.
It really is.
It's not a frenzy at all. It feels much more like a high-stakes standoff.
Yeah, it's a profound shift in market psychology. I mean, the traditional panic has been entirely replaced by this very cold, highly calculated environment.
Calculated is a great word for it.
Because what we are witnessing is not a lack of desire to own real estate. It's really a fundamental restructuring of how buyers and sellers are engaging with leverage.
And that is exactly our mission for this deep dive. We are going to unpack the underlying mechanics of the real estate landscape in Denton County as we head into the summer of 2026.
And we've got a lot of data to get through.
We really do. We pulled a stack of sources that are dense, but frankly, incredibly revealing.
Mm-hmm.
We are looking at the NTRIs, the North Texas Real Estate Information Systems, local market updates. We've got the Q1 2026 Market Watch report, the hyper-specific April 2026 market highlights.
All really crucial pieces of the puzzle.
Right. And we're going to filter all of that local data through the macro-level economic forecasts from the Texas A&M Real Estate Research Center.
Which is where it gets really interesting.
Because our goal here isn't just to read you the numbers. It's to understand the human behavior driving them.
Absolutely. And when you synthesize the data across all those reports, a very clear, massive paradox emerges for Denton County.
So let's get straight into this paradox, right? Because on one side of the equation, after years of this brutal struggle and getting outbid by cash offers, buyers are finally getting the upper hand.
The leverage is shifting back to the consumer.
Right. But then on the other side, right at the exact moment that leverage shifts and prices begin to soften, the actual number of homes being sold just saw a massive, completely unexpected spike.
Exactly. It completely defies the conventional wisdom of how a typical buyer's market is, you know, supposed to behave.
Because usually when prices are falling, buyers step back.
Right. They wait for the bottom. They hesitate.
Right. Yeah.
But here, they are accelerating their purchases.
Which brings us to the most surprising data point in this entire stack. Let's talk about this April awakening.
The volume story here is wild.
It really is. If we look at the NTRACE market highlights for April 2026, in just the month of April, single-family residential closings in Denton County hit 4,402 transactions.
Yeah, 4,402 closed sales in a single month.
Wow.
And to truly understand the gravity of that number, you know, you have to look at the year-over-year comparison. That is a 16% increase in sales volume compared to April of 2025.
A 16% jump in 1 month is massive.
It is.
But here's what I don't get if I zoom out and look at the year-to-date context, right? The big picture from January through April of 2026.
Right, the broader view.
The report says closed sales across all property types are sitting at 4,393.
Correct.
And that year-to-date number is up just under 2% from the exact same period in 2025.
Yeah.
Hang on, the math there is staggering. The first 4 months of the year combined only eked out a 2% gain, but April alone surged by 16%.
That mathematical discrepancy is exactly where the behavioral story lives.
Okay, unpack that for me.
Well, you have a market that was dragging itself through the mud in January, February, and March. I mean, it was incredibly sluggish.
Super sluggish.
And then, out of nowhere, it kicked into a noticeably higher gear in April. The data proves the existence of this massive demographic of fence sitters.
Ah, the fence sitters.
Right. These are buyers who had the capital, they had the desire, but they just spent the first quarter of the year hovering on the periphery, watching the data.
Just waiting to see what happens.
Exactly. And in April, they collectively decided, the waiting game was over.
I have to challenge that narrative a little bit, though.
Okay, go for it.
Because when I see a sudden, isolated 16% spike in closing volume in a single month, my immediate cynical instinct is to assume Wall Street just swooped in.
That's a fair assumption.
Right. We know institutional investors have been circling the North Texas Sun Belt for years. So is this Fulton 402 number really families finally getting off the fence? Or is it private equity firms buying up whole subdivisions in places like Aubrey or Prum because prices dipped slightly?
It's a vital question. We always have to monitor that institutional footprint in DFW. But the micro data here points heavily toward traditional retail consumers.
Not massive funds?
No, not massive funds.
How so? Like, what's the metric that proves it's retail?
It really comes down to the friction of the transactions.
Friction?
Yeah. Institutional buyers typically target high-yield, low-friction acquisitions. They do not want to engage in prolonged negotiations where they're forced to concede closing costs or, you know, navigate complex repair addendums.
They just want a clean deal.
Exactly. They either buy in bulk at a steep discount or they pay cash over asking to just skip the hassle altogether.
Okay, that makes sense.
But this specific price recalibration we're seeing at the median level, which we'll get into, is the absolute fingerprint of the everyday buyer.
Like mathematically grinding down the seller.
Yes. Grinding them down to fit a very strict monthly mortgage budget. Furthermore, a 16% spike in April aligns perfectly with the timeline of retail buyers trying to close and settle before the school year.
Right, because institutions don't care about the academic calendar.
Exactly. Families do.
Okay, so if we accept that these are real families buying these 4,402 homes, what was the psychological trigger?
That's the big question.
Yeah, why April? Why did thousands of people who were terrified to buy in a sluggish February suddenly sign on the dotted line 60 days later?
It's the intersection of pent-up demand and the sheer exhaustion of waiting for a macroeconomic miracle.
Waiting for a miracle, I like that.
Well, when buyers sit on the fence, they're usually waiting for a magic bullet. They're hoping for a sudden market crash to slash prices or, you know, for the Federal Reserve to suddenly drop interest rates back to the 3% anomaly we saw during the pandemic.
Right. The golden era of cheap money.
But life does not pause while you wait for the economy to cooperate.
It definitely does not.
Families have another child. People get married. Job relocations happen. Leases expire. Eventually, the friction of your current inadequate living situation outweighs your fear of the broader market.
That makes total sense.
That 4,402 number is the loudest possible signal that demand in Denton County never actually evaporated. It was simply holding its breath.
But if demand was holding its breath and it suddenly exhaled in April with this 16% volume spike, we arrive right back at the contradiction.
How so?
Because high demand usually drives up price. It's like an exclusive concert, right? If the venue suddenly releases a block of VIP tickets and thousands of people rush the system at the exact same time, the scalpers step in, leverage the demand, and ticket prices skyrocket.
Right. Economics 101.
Demand should equal price appreciation. So if volume is up 16%, why aren't prices climbing?
Because the mechanics of affordability have placed a concrete ceiling over the market.
A concrete ceiling?
Yes. This is exactly where the Denton County market actively defies those historical economic assumptions. You're right that historically high volume equals high prices.
Right.
But in this specific environment, volume is up precisely because prices are moving in the opposite direction.
Oh, wow.
Buyers are jumping in because they are finally forcing the market to find its true footing. The reports refer to this as an active recalibration.
Active recalibration. Okay, let's dig into the exact metrics of this because I want to know what the Q1 and March data actually say about where Denton County prices are landing.
Sure. If we look at the Q1 2026 MarketWatch report for the entirety of Denton County, the median sales price dropped 5.4%, landing at $425,000.
Okay, $425,000.
Yes, and for context, the average sales price sits a bit higher at $523,804.
Right, averages always get skewed by the luxury stuff.
Exactly. And if you isolate strictly the month of March 2026 countywide, that median sales price saw a 5.6% drop year over year.
So prices are reliably down in the mid-single digits, around 5 to 6% across the board for the county?
Correct. But to truly grasp the significance of that 5.6% drop, we can't view Denton County in a vacuum.
We have to look around.
We need to look at its neighbors in North Texas to see the full spectrum of market stability. The data reveals that not all counties are weathering this storm equally.
Give me the contrast. Where are the extremes?
Let's look at Eastland County. In Q1 of 2026, their median price didn't just experience a modest recalibration, it practically fractured. The median price plummeted 18.2%.
18.2%.
Dropping all the way down to $155,500.
Wow. An 18.2% contraction is devastating for anyone who bought there at the peak. That is an absolute free fall.
It is severe wealth destruction on paper. But then, on the completely opposite end of the spectrum, you have Delta County.
What's happening in Delta?
Their March 2026 data shows prices were virtually frozen. They saw a microscopic drop of just 0.2%.
Basically flat.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So you have Eastland experiencing a violent price shock, Delta remaining entirely rigid, and Denton sitting right in the middle executing this controlled 5.6% descent.
Let's unpack the mechanics of that divergence, because why is Eastland in a free fall, Delta frozen in carbonite, and Denton adjusting so smoothly?
It ultimately comes down to economic diversification and the unwinding of pandemic-era trends.
The remote work stuff.
Exactly. Eastland is further out. It's much more rural. During the remote work boom, those rural peripheral counties saw massive artificial price inflation.
Because everyone wanted land.
People fled the dense cities, drove 2 hours out, and paid a premium for acreage. But as a return-to-office mandate solidifies leading into 2026, the demand for that extreme exurban housing evaporated.
Right, got called back to the office in Dallas.
The buyer pool vanished, leaving those who need to sell entirely stranded.
Mm.
And to move a house in a market with zero buyers, you have to slash the price by 18%.
That is brutal.
It is. Denton County, however, is a massive, highly diversified economic engine. It has two major universities, sprawling distribution hubs, massive healthcare networks.
It's an actual hub.
Right. The underlying demand to live in Denton never vanished. Buyers simply hit a mathematical affordability ceiling imposed by interest rates. So that 5.6% drop isn't a lack of demand. It's simply the math adjusting to the interest rate.
That makes perfect sense. So let's define what active recalibration actually means for the listener right now. Because when the average person hears prices are dropping, their immediate instinct is to think the bubble is popping. You know, the word crash gets thrown around constantly.
And that highlights the danger of reacting to headlines without analyzing the underlying transaction volume.
Exactly.
A crash happens when prices plummet because demand vanishes and inventory floods the market.
All right.
In a crash, sellers panic sell because absolutely no one is showing up to open houses. But we just established that 4,402 people bought homes in Denton County in April.
Right. The demand is there.
Demand is intensely real. This is not a crash. It's a correction. It is a market actively discovering the true mathematical limit of what a local buyer can actually afford to pay on a monthly basis.
So what does that shift look like at the closing table? Because for the last few years, the dynamic was an absolute seller's dictate.
Oh, completely.
The seller could sit back with their arms crossed and say, you know, waive your inspection, give me a 30-day free lease back, cover the appraisal gap, and pay 50 grand over asking, or I'll just text the next guy in line.
And people did it.
They had to. But this recalibration means it is finally a mutual negotiation again.
Precisely. The report uses a brilliant, very specific phrase, quietly growing negotiating room.
Quietly growing negotiating room.
Yes, and understanding the mechanics of that phrase is vital for any buyer listening. It doesn't necessarily mean a seller is going to slash their public listing price by $50,000 on day one just because the market cooled.
Right, because seller pride is a very real factor.
Very real.
They still want the optics of selling for their high list price. So where does this quietly growing room actually manifest?
It manifests in the concessions. When a buyer makes an offer today, they are wielding leverage that simply didn't exist 2 years ago.
Right.
They might offer the full asking price, but they are demanding that the seller cover $10,000 in closing costs.
Oh, nice.
Or they're requiring the seller to pay points to buy down their mortgage rate from 7% to 6%.
Okay, so hitting the monthly payment.
Exactly. Or if the inspection reveals a failing HVAC system, the buyer is demanding a full replacement before closing, rather than just meekly accepting the house as is.
The era of as is dead.
For the vast majority of properties, yes. The buyer is wielding their purchasing power with incredible precision to protect their long-term cash flow.
Now, this is where the data gets incredibly fascinating to me because there's a glaring contradiction in the reports that we really have to address.
Okay, let's hear it.
We just talked about how countywide volume surged by 16% in April. But if we pull the specific March 2026 MLS summary report for the city of Denton, the actual urban core of the county residential closed sales actually dropped.
Yep.
They went from 146 closings in March of 2025 down to just 113 in March of 2026.
And the median price inside the city limits fell right alongside that dropping volume. It went from $392,276 down to $380,000.
Hang on. If the engine is roaring for Denton County as a whole, why is the primary cylinder, the city of Denton, misfiring? You have 1,400 people buying in the county, but volume is actively shrinking inside the city limits. Are people fleeing the city center?
They aren't fleeing the city. They're being pushed out by the mechanics of affordability ranks.
Affordability ranks?
Yes. As mortgage rates remain elevated, the purchasing power of the median buyer shrinks. If you want a 2,500 square foot house and you can no longer afford the price per square foot premium required to live inside the city of Denton, you don't stop buying.
Right.
You just drive 15 minutes further out. You look at Aubrey, Sanger, Crum, or Justin.
You drive till you qualify.
Exactly. The county volume surges because buyers are exploring the geographical periphery to find a home that fits their newly restricted mortgage budget, leaving the higher priced inventory sitting stagnant inside the city core.
Stagnant inventory. Which brings us to the ultimate truth teller in real estate. Let's look at the days on market metric for the city of Denton. Because a house sitting empty tells a massive psychological story.
It really does. The days on market, or DOM, is the metric that truly reveals the vulnerability of the seller right now.
Yeah.
In the city of Denton, the average DOM expanded significantly. It jumped from 55 days in March of 2025 to 77 days in March of 2026.
Let's stop and really process what 77 days feels like to a family trying to sell their home.
It's a lifetime.
It is. Yeah. Numbers on a spreadsheet look clean and clinical, but selling a house is a deeply invasive emotional process.
Absolutely.
77 days is 2.5 months of waking up early to keep the house perfectly staged, vacating the property every time a stranger wants to open your closets, keeping the dog in the car for 2 hours, and then waiting nervously for the phone to ring with feedback.
It is an agonizing timeline, especially if the seller's expectations were not properly managed by their agent.
Right.
If you map out the psychology of a seller over that 77-day period, you see a complete emotional breakdown.
Walk me through that.
Well, in weeks 1 and 2, the seller is highly optimistic. They're emotionally anchored to whatever inflated price their neighbor sold for back in 2022.
Right. They're like, my house has better countertops, so I'll ask for 10 grand more.
Exactly. By week 4, the showing requests start to dry up.
Mm.
By week 6, the feedback from the few buyers who do tour the property is universally, the house is nice, but it's priced entirely too high for this interest rate.
Ouch.
And by week 10, entering that 70-plus day territory, genuine desperation sets in.
It is the testing the market strategy backfiring in spectacular fashion.
Yes.
Think about the dynamics of anchoring bias. In 2021, a seller could anchor their price to the moon. They could ask 20% over the comps, and a buyer terrified of missing out would pay it sight unseen.
Right. They had all the power.
Now, in 2026, if you try to anchor high and just test the market, buyers just ignore you. Your listing becomes invisible.
And the April report specifically highlights the financial penalty of this exact behavior.
What's the penalty?
Overpriced listings are not just sitting longer. They're ultimately selling for significantly less than list price.
Wow. So the penalty for arrogance isn't just time. It is lost equity.
Exactly. When a house sits for 77 days, buyers start to assume it is structurally flawed.
Right. They think, what's wrong with it?
They smell blood in the water. It becomes stigmatized inventory. So when a buyer finally does submit an offer on day 78, it is often a lowball offer,
yes,
significantly below what the seller could have commanded if they had simply priced it fairly on day one.
I want to broaden the scope here for a second, because this hesitation isn't just paralyzing residential sellers. If you look at the macro data, this freeze is happening on the commercial and development side too, which has huge implications for the future of Denton County.
Absolutely. To gauge the broader sentiment of developers and home builders in the area, you only need to look at the raw land sales inside the city of Denton.
Okay, what is the land data say?
The median land price experienced a violent contraction. It plummeted to $118,750 in March of 2026, compared to a massive median of $450,000 just a year prior in March of 2025.
Wait, from $450,000 down to under $120,000 for raw land?
Yes.
That is a completely different universe of valuation.
It is. And perhaps more tellingly, The days on market for raw land spiked to an incredible 319 days.
319 days, that's nearly a full year required to sell a plot of dirt.
Exactly. What this data tells us is that the builders and developers, the entities responsible for buying land to construct the future subdivisions we need, are incredibly pessimistic.
Because they're looking at the same numbers we are.
They are reading the exact same consumer affordability data we're analyzing today. They're factoring in their own extremely high commercial borrowing costs, and they're flatly refusing to pay top dollar for raw land.
They just won't do it.
They're pulling back their capital, which means the pipeline of future new build inventory 2 or 3 years from now could be severely constrained.
Okay, that structural constraint brings up a really practical question.
Sure.
If developers are refusing to buy land to build new homes, and residential sellers are sitting on single-family homes for 77 days because buyers refuse to overpay, where's everyone going?
Right.
I mean, the population of Denton County isn't shrinking. People are still moving here for jobs and schools. So if people desperately want to live in Denton, but they are hesitating to buy because the math doesn't work, they have to sleep somewhere tonight.
This leads us directly to the ultimate safety valve of the real estate ecosystem.
Which is?
Residential leasing. If you want indisputable proof that buyers are simply waiting out the market rather than leaving the area, you have to look at the rental data.
Let's get into the mechanics of this rental safety valve. Walk me through the leasing data for the city of Denton.
Okay, so pulling from the March 2026 MLS residential lease data for single-family residences, specifically within the city of Denton, the volume story perfectly aligns with our theory.
Okay.
The number of signed leases jumped from 61 in March of 2025 to 84 in March of 2026.
So rental volume is up nearly 40%. That tracks. People are choosing to rent homes while they wait for purchasing conditions to improve?
Yes.
But typically, when demand for rentals surges by 40%, landlords capitalize on that demand and hike the rent.
And this introduces the great paradox of the 2026 rental market. While the volume of executed leases surged, the average lease price in the city of Denton actually dropped.
It dropped.
It fell from $2,310 a month in 2025 down to $2,088 a month in 2026.
Let me make sure I am fully comprehending this. You have significantly more people competing for rental homes, but the cost to rent those homes has actually decreased by over $200 a month.
Yeah.
How is that economically possible?
It is entirely driven by the concept of shadow inventory and the shifting leverage of the landlord.
Shadow inventory. Okay, explain that.
Remember the 77 days on market we discussed earlier?
The 2.5 months of agony, yeah.
Right. Consider the homeowner who wants to move to another state.
Right.
They list their Denton home for sale, but they aggressively overprice it. It sits empty for 70 days.
Right.
They refuse to lower the sale price out of pride, but they are now paying two mortgages. Eventually, the financial bleed becomes too great.
I just can't afford it.
So they throw their hands up, pull the house off the for sale market, and list it for rent instead, just to cover their carrying costs.
Ah.
This influx of frustrated sellers accidentally floods the market with a massive shadow inventory of rental homes.
Ah, so the supply of available rental homes increased even faster than the demand, creating a glut.
Exactly. Landlords suddenly found themselves in a highly competitive environment, fighting each other to secure a qualified tenant.
Wow.
To win that tenant, they had to aggressively lower their monthly asking price. And for the prospective buyer, this creates an incredibly compelling financial alternative.
Let's do the math on this holding pattern to see just how compelling it is.
Let's do it.
Let's say I'm looking at a median price home in Denton County right now. Q1 data says that median is $425,000.
Right.
If I put a traditional 20% down, that's $85,000 in cash I have to bring to the table. I'm financing $340,000.
Okay.
At, let's say, a 7% interest rate, my principal and interest alone is around $2,260. Add in Texas property taxes, which we know are substantial.
Yeah. Very substantial.
Plus homeowner's insurance, maybe an HOA fee. I mean, I am easily staring at a $3,200 to $3,500 monthly payment just to own that median home.
That is the harsh mathematical reality of purchasing at the median in today's rate environment.
But if I look at that MLS lease data, I can rent a comparable single-family home, maybe even in the very neighborhood I eventually want to buy in, for $2,088 a month.
Yeah.
I am saving roughly $1,200 to $1,400 a month by renting instead of owning.
And that massive spread, that monthly cash flow difference, is exactly why we saw 84 leases signed in March. It is pure financial arbitrage by the consumer.
So if you are listening to this and you are sitting in a Denton rental right now, paying $2,088, which is less than you paid last year, you are essentially buying time.
You are.
You've parked yourself in an affordable strategic holding pattern. But the million-dollar question is, what exactly are you buying time for? Who holds the stopwatch? What is the macroeconomic trigger that will finally force you to stop renting and re-enter the purchasing market?
That requires us to look at the one invisible force that dictates every single number we have discussed today.
The macro force.
Exactly. To understand why a local buyer in Denton chooses to rent for $2,000 instead of buying for $425,000, we have to examine the macroeconomic engine outlined in the April 2026 Trends Report.
Let's zoom all the way out. Let's talk about the invisible hand controlling the North Texas market.
The absolute bedrock metric we have to examine is the 10-year Treasury yield. It is the fundamental anchor of the entire mortgage market.
Okay, we need to break this down deeply, because a lot of people hear Treasury yield and their eyes immediately glaze over.
Oh, I know. It sounds incredibly dry.
Why does a bond issued by the federal government dictate whether a young couple can afford a 3-bedroom house in Denton? What is the actual mechanism connecting the two?
It is a profound structural connection. You can think of the 10-year Treasury yield as the base layer of a Jenga tower.
Okay, a Jenga tower.
The local Denton housing inventory, the seller concessions, the days on market, those are all the wooden blocks stacked at the top of the tower. You can shift those top blocks around, pull one out, tap one in, and it changes the shape of the local market.
Right.
But the 10-year Treasury is the solid table the entire tower is sitting on.
Exactly.
If the table is tilted, or in this case, structurally elevated, it doesn't matter what you do with the blocks at the top. The fundamental stability of the tower is entirely constrained by that base.
That is a great visual. But how exactly does the yield dictate the mortgage rate?
Mortgage lenders do not just arbitrarily guess what interest rate to charge you. They base it on risk and return.
Right.
The 10-year Treasury note is considered one of the safest investments on the planet because it is backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government.
It's a sure thing.
A 30-year fixed mortgage, however, is inherently riskier. The borrower could lose their job, default on the loan, or the property could burn down.
Right. There's always a risk.
To compensate for that risk, investors who buy mortgage-backed securities demand a premium, a higher return than they would get from simply buying a safe government bond.
So the mortgage rate is essentially just the 10-year Treasury yield plus a risk tax.
Precisely. That risk tax is what economists call the spread. So mortgage rates heavily track the 10-year Treasury yield plus that spread.
Got it.
And the April report highlights a crucial macroeconomic reality. The 10-year Treasury yield remains stubbornly elevated above the 4% mark.
Above 4%?
Because it is sitting above 4%, it is acting as an immovable concrete floor. It physically prevents retail mortgage rates from dropping rapidly, regardless of how much local housing inventory increases in Denton County.
Wow.
The local market can negotiate prices down 5%, but it cannot override the gravity of the national bond market.
So as long as that Treasury yield stays elevated above 4%, we are structurally blocked from seeing mortgage rates drop back down into the highly affordable 4 or 5% range. Who decides when that floor drops? Like, what does the long-term forecast actually look like for the person sitting in that rental?
The report gives us a direct projection from the Texas A&M Real Estate Research Center, and it requires a recalibration of our expectations.
What are they projecting?
They are projecting a very gradual easing of rates. They believe we will see mortgage rates slowly trend toward a 5.0 to 5.6% range, but not until late 2026.
Late 2026, so months from now.
And there is a massive caveat attached to that projection. This gradual easing is entirely contingent on national inflation staying near the Federal Reserve's target levels.
And if it doesn't?
If inflation flares up, the Treasury yield spikes, and mortgage rates go right back up with it.
Okay, this brings us full circle. This completely explains the massive 16% volume surge we saw in April.
Yes, exactly.
Why did 4,402 people suddenly decide to buy in April instead of continuing to rent?
Because of profound psychological acceptance. For the last year, buyers have been sitting in those cheap rentals, waiting for rates to magically plummet back to the pandemic-era lows of 3%.
Waiting for the magic bullet.
But as they sit there, watching the 10-year Treasury stay stubbornly elevated month after month, and they read these Texas A&M forecasts saying the absolute best-case scenario by late 2026 is maybe 5.5%, a massive psychological shift occurs.
They realize it's not happening.
They realize the historical anomaly is truly over. The 3% rate is dead and buried.
It's like freezing outside a store waiting for a clearance sale.
Right.
You want the heavy winter jacket, but you tell yourself, if I just wait until March, it'll be 70% off. You shiver for weeks. Then the store manager gets on the loudspeaker and announces, attention shoppers, prices are only going to drop by 5%, and that won't happen until next December.
Perfect analogy.
At some point, the wait is no longer worth the discomfort. You just walk in and buy the jacket because you are cold right now.
That is exactly the behavioral economics at play. The uncertainty of waiting is ultimately worse than accepting the reality.
So they just pull the trigger.
Once buyers accept the current rate environment, they re-enter the market. They calculate exactly what they can afford at today's 7% rates, they get pre-approved, and they go shopping.
But because their purchasing power is severely constrained by those high rates, they are forced to negotiate fiercely on the actual purchase price.
Which perfectly explains our opening paradox.
Mm.
It is exactly why we see sales volume surging by 16% while prices drop by 5.6%.
Wow.
The macro forces of the bond market are dictating the micro behavior at the Denton County closing tables.
That is a brilliant synthesis of the data. This broader shift toward what the report calls a balanced state in the DFW area completely changes the rules of engagement.
It absolutely does.
We have spent this entire deep dive rigorously analyzing the data from every conceivable angle. We've dissected the 16% volume surge, the city level days on market jumping to 77, the arbitrage of the rental safety valve, and the immovable floor of the 10-year treasury.
Now, it is time to synthesize this analysis into a concrete tactical playbook.
Because knowledge is ultimately only valuable when it is understood and applied, this is where we build the strategy.
Let's do it.
Exactly. Let's build actionable intel for you, the listener, whether you are preparing to buy your first home, trying to sell your current property, or simply trying to navigate the local economy. Let's start with the buyers. If I'm looking to buy a house in Denton County this weekend, what is my tactical play?
For buyers, the fundamental takeaway is leverage. I want to reiterate the exact phrasing from the Market Highlights report. This is arguably the most favorable environment this county has offered in several years.
That is a massive, definitive statement. The most favorable environment in years.
And the underlying data completely supports it. DFW inventory is steadily increasing, which provides you with the ultimate luxury in real estate choices.
Choices, yeah.
You no longer have to settle for the very first house you tour just because you are terrified of missing out. More importantly, that quietly growing negotiating room we discussed is a very real weapon.
You can actually use it.
You have the power to ask for structural repairs. You have the leverage to demand that the seller cover your closing costs. You can ask for a 2-1 buy-down where the seller essentially pays a lump sum to temporarily lower your interest rate for the first 2 years of the loan.
Which is huge for affordability.
Right now, the seller needs your qualified, approved financing much more than you need their specific house.
But there is always a catch. What is the trap buyers need to avoid?
The caveat is that you must ruthlessly accept the macroeconomic reality. You have to buy based on a strict budget dictated by today's mortgage rates, not the aspirational rates of 2021.
You have to face facts.
You cannot hold out for a historical anomaly to return. If you find a home you truly love and you can comfortably afford the monthly payment today, stress testing it against your current income, and you can aggressively negotiate a fair price that reflects the 5% market recalibration we discussed, you are in a highly advantageous position to execute.
Don't miss a good deal waiting for a perfect rate.
Do not let the pursuit of a perfect interest rate cost you a highly negotiable asset.
Mm. Make the seller pay for the rate buy-down. Use their equity to lower your monthly payment. That seems to be the smartest tactical move a buyer can make right now.
Without a doubt.
Okay, let's flip the script. What about the sellers? What is the playbook for the person hammering that for sale sign into their front yard in Denton tomorrow morning?
For sellers, the key takeaway is recognizing the absolute danger of arrogance in a recalibrated market.
The danger of arrogance. I like that.
For years, sellers have been the undisputed kings of the transaction, dictating all terms. But the data from the city of Denton, the agonizing 77 days on market, the plunging median close price, the shadow inventory of accidental landlords strongly suggests that the window for aggressive, aspirational pricing has slammed entirely shut.
No more anchoring high just to, you know, see what happens.
Exactly. The report is explicitly clear on this. Right pricing at the outset is statistically proven to yield a better final financial outcome than testing an inflated price.
just price it right from day one.
If you test a high price in this current high-rate environment, you will sit on the market. You will endure 2.5 months of disruptive showings with no offers.
And we know how painful that is.
Your property will become stigmatized inventory, and you will eventually be forced into painful downward price adjustments. You will almost certainly walk away with less net cash at closing than if you had simply priced it at fair current market value on day one.
It all comes back to a concept you touched on earlier, the necessity of a well-priced, well-presented home. The market isn't dead. We know 4,402 homes sold in April alone. People are actively buying. The market just fundamentally refuses to tolerate fantasy pricing anymore.
Exactly.
If your home is immaculate, if the necessary repairs are made beforehand, and if it is priced aggressively according to the 2026 comps rather than the 2022 comps, it will move.
It requires a profound level of humility and a strict reliance on hard data rather than relying on the emotional memory of what your neighbor got for their house 3 years ago.
It's tough to let that go.
It is. But the sellers who accept the math will close. The sellers who fight the math will sit empty.
This has been incredibly illuminating. Let's briefly recap the journey of this analysis.
Okay.
We started with the paradox of the April, awakening the market engine suddenly roaring to life with 1,400 sales despite a sluggish first quarter. We then looked under the hood and saw the active recalibration happening across Denton County, with prices dropping 5.6%.
Contrasting sharply with the 18% freefall in exurban Eastland County.
Right. We zoomed into the microdynamics of the city of Denton and analyzed the psychological toll of houses sitting for 77 days on the market. We followed the financially savvy buyers as they utilized the rental safety valve, taking advantage of dropping lease prices through shadow inventory while they waited.
And finally, we tracked all of these local quirks back up to the unyielding floor of the 10-year treasury, understanding how macro bond yields dictate local behavior.
It is a brilliantly interconnected living system, and analyzing it this deeply leads me to a final provocative thought. It is something not explicitly stated in the reports we reviewed, but heavily implied by the totality of the data we've unpacked today.
I love a good paradigm shift. That's the final thought.
Throughout this entire discussion, we have constantly relied on the word recalibration to describe what Denton County is currently going through.
Right, active recalibration.
We inherently view this phase as a temporary transition, a bridge between the insane low-rate seller's market of the pandemic and whatever the next distinct cycle will be. But as we look at the Texas A&M forecast, predicting rates holding steady in the 5% range for the foreseeable future, we have to consider a radically different possibility.
Oh yeah, I'm listening.
What if this isn't a transition at all? What if, heading into the summer of 2026, a market where sales volume is steady but not manic, where prices are solidly grounded to local median incomes rather than speculative frenzy, where days on market stretch to a normal 2 to 3 months, and where mutual negotiation is an absolute requirement for every transaction? What if this is simply the healthy, permanent new normal?
That is a profound question to leave on. Are we all just sitting around holding our breath, waiting for the next great real estate boom or devastating bust, rather than simply learning to accept and navigate a newly stabilized reality?
Right. Maybe the pendulum isn't going to swing wildly back the other way. Maybe the pendulum is just finally resting in the middle.
And the market participants, both buyers and sellers, who are the first to recognize that stabilization, stop fighting the past, and adapt their strategies to the present, will be the ones who succeed financially in it.
It brings us right back to that car engine analogy. Maybe the engine didn't just roar back to life so we could run a chaotic high-speed drag race like we did in 2021.
Yeah.
Maybe it just finally warmed up enough to give us a smooth, steady, predictable ride down the highway. And honestly, after the chaos of the last few years, a predictable ride sounds like exactly what this market needs.
I couldn't agree more.
To everyone listening, whether you are firing up the grill for Memorial Day this weekend or firing up your real estate app to scout out the newly reduced prices in your neighborhood, remember that truly understanding the mechanisms behind these numbers is the best way to stay one step ahead of the crowd. Don't just read the headlines, understand the math, keep your eyes on the data, stay objective, and enjoy the weekend.